turn to Psalm 68, verse 5. Psalm 68, verse 5. Hallelujah. Bible says, he is a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. He is a father of the fatherless. Isn't that good news this morning? That you don't have to be an orphan? Amen. You don't have to have an orphan spirit today, because God is a father of the fatherless. I want you to hold your Bibles up this morning and say it like you mean it. Come on, say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to find three people you don't know this morning and say, you look marvelous, darling. Would you do that? Find three people you don't know. Come on. Three people you haven't met, someone you haven't met this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, an orphan's heart has been so beat up by life, and by what they've perceived in life, and some of the life that they've lived, some of the ways that others have treated them, that many times their perspective and outlook on life is very negative. Have you ever been around somebody that is just negative all the time? They just can't seem to find good in anything, even though good is surrounding them. They're still in this negative mindset. Often that is an indication that they have an orphan's heart. Their heart has not received the fullness of God's grace and God's love. As a believer, this morning, you have the power within you to change the atmosphere of your surroundings. You don't have to walk in a negative atmosphere or a negative mind frame. You can walk in the positive assurance of life in you. Have you ever gone into a room? Have you ever walked into a room and, you know, everybody's talking and you walk into that room and they all become silent? And the first thing that's on your mind is they're talking about you, when really they're not. They're just honoring you. But your perspective is that they're talking about you, because, you know, your heart has been set in that manner so long. God wants to heal your heart to have such a good expectation to be able to change the atmosphere of your life, your home, your job, from something that is negative into something that is positive, because only God is good. Amen. And when you receive his unconditional love in your heart, because it's the word of God, it's the unconditional love of God that really changes our heart, changes our perspective on life, amen, where we have this hope. And hope is just an expectation of good, because we serve a good God. When you get up in the morning, your life should be full of hope, because we serve such a good God, and he's living in me. You know, I've heard people say about having a manifestation of God, a manifestation of God. We were talking about a little bit about that this morning. You know, every day is a manifestation of God within you. Amen. It's God's manifestation. You know, people travel all around to find a manifestation of God, when God is right there within them. Just open up your life, worship, and manifestation takes place. Amen. It's right there. Praise God. It is in you. The hope of glory, the expectation of good is in you. The power is within you. How is it manifested out here? When we release our faith. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, are you? Yeah, you are. Turn to somebody and say, I'm hearing what he's saying. You know, I've known people travel here and travel there for a move of God. Amen. Well, God's already moved. You don't have to go anywhere. Just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It's all within me. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not, you know, out here. It's within. It becomes out here and manifested when we believe what we have received. We walk in that confidence of his assurance and of his peace. Amen. Because we know what we have received. Praise God. When you lay hands on the sick, you know they're going to recover. Why? Because the power is within you and it's being released. You are a life-giving vessel of Jesus Christ. You know, I wrote a little bleep this week about people waiting on ministry, and ministry's always out there. Out there. When I get out, you know, when I get there. No, ministry's here. Ministry happens all around us every day. There's so much opportunity for ministry if we just open up our eyes and say, wow, look at this. God, you've given me. I was out jogging the other day, and I was jogging and having a good time, and I got finished with my jog, and I was done, you know, with it, and, you know, jogged a couple miles, and just had a good time. And I was walking, and here comes this elderly gentleman, and he was walking down the street, and I stopped him, and actually we met, and I said, good morning. I said, my name is Steve, and he said, my name's Fred. I said, well, Fred, it's a delight to meet you. And we begin to engage in conversation, and I said, Fred, how old are you? May I ask you something? I'm 83. And he looked really good. I said, man, you look really good for 83, buddy. You look great. And he's out here. He's walking, and, you know, just, you know, slim guy, just a nice gentleman. And we begin to talk, and he is a believer, and I begin to minister to him right there. Hello, just minister to him out there and begin to pray for him. And so I told him a little bit about our church. And so, you know, the other morning, it was like early in the morning, about, I think it was Friday morning, early in the morning, there was a knock on my door. And I thought, wow, somebody's at my door early in the morning. And I opened the door, and guess who it was? It was Fred. And Fred said, Pastor Steve, where is your church again? He said, I like to go out and check it out, at least drive by so I know where I'm going before I get there. Amen. And I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome, Fred. Man, I gave him the address, showed him where it was at, and I believe Fred's going to be here with us. So you know what I'm saying, though? Ministry is all around you. You have Christ in you. Just release it. Give it to somebody. People are hungry. They're thirsty. You don't have to wait to get to some place, somewhere. Just give it to them where you are. That wasn't even in my message this morning, but it's good. Amen. Yeah. Let's go ahead and give God some praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. Hallelujah. So as an orphan, many times your perspective is totally obscured because your heart has been so beat up by life. You know, it's like, I don't know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, they're an older person, said the first time in their life, just a year ago or so, they had been up in a plane. First time in their life. It was the first time had anybody never been up in a plane before here? You've never been up in a plane? Anybody never been in a plane? Anybody never flown before? Everybody's flown. You guys haven't flown? Man, I need to take you up sometime, all right? So it's a different perspective in the air than it is on the ground. You mean you can see a lot further up in the air than you can on the ground. And so many people, you know, I listened to a lady the other day talked about, I think it was a testimony from Andrew, that the town she was from, people were born there, you know, grow up there, work there, live there, and die there. And they never get out of that town. And so if you've never had a different perspective, then you don't know anything different. And an orphan's heart, for so much, they've never had a different perspective. God wants to give you a different perspective of life. He wants to know how much he loves you, how much he has for you, that he's not mad at you, but madly in love with you this morning. God wants you to get a different perspective of life. And because they don't have a different perspective of life, they fall into a pattern so often of just expecting not good, but bad all the time. Their theme song is that old hee-haw song, gloom, despair, excessive misery. Deep, dark depression has set in on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have what? No, y'all know, how do y'all know that song? Right? So it's kind of like the older gentleman that you know, fell asleep one day and his grandchildren were over, and I hope my grandchildren are not as mischievous as these were, but they decided they were going to get some Lamberger cheese and put on his mustache. And so they snuck over there and they rubbed it on his mustache. And, you know, he kind of woke up a little bit and said, "Wow, this room really stinks." And he went out into the living room and says, "Wow, this room really stinks too." Then he walked out into the front porch and he sniffed and he said, "Wow, the whole world stinks." Yeah. You want to tell you something? God has no limits for your life. You know, one thing I love about flying is there's no speed limit up there. You get in certain airspace and they do restrict it. It's kind of like the law, you know. It's restrictive. Grace is freedom. Rev it up. Fast as you can go. I was going 150 miles an hour this week. I loved it. I want to go 200 miles an hour. Amen. God is so awesome. And when you understand the freedom that we have in grace, your vision of life changes. You're able to receive all of the love that he has to heal your heart. Amen. And all of a sudden, instead of getting this grounded place, you begin to rise above. Amen. You get to see a different perspective of life because you know God's grace. You know his love for you. You know the power that is within your life. Amen. That's why Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Why was he able to say that? Paul had a different perspective of life because he knew a God that had no limits. Don't turn to somebody and say, "Don't limit God." Amen. Don't limit God. In the Old Testament, they limited God time and time again. And when they limited God, they kept going back instead of forward. And it was all because of their perspective. They had a different perspective. Amen? God wants you to have a perspective of him as a God that is totally full of love and joy and peace for your life. God wants you to have a perspective of him that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? God wants you to have that perspective in your life. He doesn't want you to have a negative mindset, but he wants you to have a positive mindset in what he's done and is able to do through you. Turn to somebody and say, "You can do it. You can do it." Amen. You can do it. Amen. God in you, you can. So many times, "Well, I can't." You can. Get a different perspective. Amen. Get a different perspective. If we are to experience God in his magnificence, we should see him as big as he is. He is a big, big father. Amen? And we need to envision ourselves. We need to get a picture of ourselves in his plan. Amen? When we think this way, it allows God to accomplish the things he wants to do through our lives. When we begin to get a perspective of how big he is, how good he is, how faithful he is, amen, that he's just got nothing but good for me, it changes all the atmosphere around us. Jesus did not come to give you a stinky life. Mm-mm. John 10:10. The thief. You know, I was listening to somebody the other day talking about spiritual warfare. And they were just all up in it, you know. I remember people used to go up in planes and they'd pray over cities, cast out all the evil spirits. You know, why would you want to give credit to a defeated foe when we've got so much power in Jesus? Why would people want to give credit to the enemy when there's so much power available in Jesus? Right? People do it all the time. They give place to the devil. Why do you want to do that when there's so much power in the love that God has for us? Never understood that. The thief does not come except to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his M.O. I've come that you might have what? And how does God want you to have it? More abundantly, super abounding life. Listen, sickness is not a super abounding life. Having to deal with a dis-ease is not a superabounding life. Having to deal with a broken heart all the time and a negative outlook on life is not a superabounding life. God wants you to have a superabounding life because of Jesus Christ. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and rip off from you, and the sooner you recognize that, you take your authority and your position in Christ. He is defeated, amen. You leap above that and get a different perspective of God with all power that we serve that's living in us. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. It's kind of like the two construction workers that went out one day and they're opening their lunch pails, right? And they opened their lunch pails and they looked in their lunch pail and the guy pulled out and he said, "Oh, baloney again." And the other guy looked at him and said, "What?" He said, "This is the third time this week that I've had baloney." And he turned to him and says, "Well, tell your wife to pack you something different tomorrow." He said, "Wife, I don't have any wife. I pack my own lunch." Yeah. There is so much truth in that. How much baloney, yeah. How much baloney do we pack? How much baloney do we allow to come in our lives? How much baloney do we feed on every day of the week instead of the Word of God? How much baloney is just put in there from someone else? You know, sometimes, you know, if you've ever gone out crabbing, you know, on the Eastern Shore, you get a bucket, you get a crab, you catch a crab, you put the one crab in the bucket, and that's all you need. Because every other crab you put in the bucket, that one crab's going to reach up and pull him down. It's just like, that's what he does. There are some people that are so negative, you need to change friends. If people aren't adding value to your life, hello? If they're adding drama to your life all the time, there's some drama mamas. And there's some drama daddies too. It just didn't go for women. There's a lot of drama guys. Wow. An orphan's heart is really, really subject to drama because that's all they've known. God didn't want you living in drama. He didn't want you living as the stomach turns or anything else. Amen. God wants you living in life, not drama. God doesn't want you thinking about this drama stuff. And some of your friends, they come up to you and the first thing out of their mouth, it's always drama. On Facebook, it's drama. Hello? Turn to somebody and say, "No more drama, mama." Your thoughts can either limit you or cause barriers in your life or cause you to overcome. Your thoughts can limit you or cause you to overcome. They will. Look over, let's go in the Word a little bit this morning. Let's go back to the Word, all right? Look over to Numbers 13. We're going to put this up in the Amplified if we can. Numbers 13, 26 through 33. We looked at this a little bit, but I want to go back again and look at it again. Numbers 26, what did I say there, Aaron? 26 through 33. They came to Moses and Aaron to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh and brought them the word and showed them the land's fruit. They told Moses, "We came to the land of which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit." God already told them he gave them the land. Has God not already told us he's given us everything in Jesus Christ? Turn to somebody and say, "Then why are you sweating? Why are you worried? Why are you stressing? Why are you there, right? But the people who dwell in those are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the son of Anak of great stature and courage. We saw Amalek dwells in the land of the south of the," well, we'll skip that word, Negeb. "The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the side of the Jordan River." Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. Why, we are well able." Let's go up at once. Let's not hesitate. Let's go and get it. Why? Because Caleb had a different spirit, the Bible says. He had a spirit of faith. Faith always conquers fear. Faith always conquers fear. God does not want you walking in that spirit of fear, but he wants you walking in faith. He doesn't want you having a negative aspect and outlook on life. He's wanting us to walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, and that's exactly what they were not doing. They're walking by sight and not by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it's not even our faith we walk by. It's his faith. His faith in us being released. Amen. And we walk through this life by faith. We call those things that are not as though they are. How do we receive these things? We call them that are not as though they are. How do we see that manifestation? We call the things that are not as though they are. Your body may be telling you one thing, but you're saying something else with your mouth. Oh, come on, somebody. And you get your mouth, and you line up your mouth, and you line up the word with your mouth, and you get on it, and you stay on it. Amen? And you don't get off of it until the manifestation comes. No matter what negative circumstances that may be in. When your checkbook is talking to you, you open your mouth, get back on the word, and you stay on it. You call those things that are not as though they... That's what God did. If God did that, don't you think he expects us to do that? Hallelujah. When God gives you a vision and a plan, there will always be obstacles to overcome. When something goes in your life, God puts it in your heart, there's going to be things that you're going to have to face and overcome. What do? You stay on the word. You keep it in your mouth, you keep it in your heart, you keep it in your head. You stay on the word. Caleb had confidence in God's ability regardless of how strong the enemy seemed to be. He knew that God was more than able. And because he knew that God was more than able, he knew he was more than able. Hallelujah. The evil report the spies gave went contrary to God's word. People will come to you with things that are contrary to God's word. They will try to wound your heart, your spirit, but you stay on the word and keep on moving. Keep on trucking, baby. Keep on trucking. Sorry, guys. Wow. If I'd listened to people over the years, I'd stopped a long time ago. You can't do that. You ain't got any money to do that. How are you going to plant a church up in Fishers? That's all rich folk up there. How are you going to do that? They ain't going to come to your church. You're just an old hillbilly boy. Well, I am. I was born in Arkansas, raised in Michigan. That is a true hillbilly. It doesn't get any more hillbillier than that. Really? What do you say, Kay? Hillbillier. See? Amen. How's that going to, what's going to, you know what? I decided long ago not to listen to negative people. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to what thus saith the word of God. I like surrounding myself with people that have a can-do spirit. They say, oh yeah, with God nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. I allow God to heal that orphan heart because, you know, I had one. Absolutely had one. Amen. And it doesn't heal. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it takes some time of revelation of what God has for you. But I'm telling you, God's got good for you. And you don't need to listen to the negative soothsayers in your life. You need to be listening to what God's word says to you. Amen. And you need to respond and act upon God's word. Y'all getting anything out of this morning? Amen. Amen. Look at this. Let's go on down. Look at, turn to chapter 14, Numbers 14, 1 through 3, and then 6 through 8. Numbers 14, 1 through 3. And all the congregation cried with a loud voice, and they wept that night. All the Israelites grumbled, deplored their situation, accusing Moses and Aaron, whom the whole congregation said, would that we had died in Egypt. Oh, that we had died in this wilderness. Why does the Lord bring us this land? You know, it's amazing when things begin to happen in our lives, we blame God. God had nothing to do with it, but God gets the blame for so much. You know, any tragedy happens, we blame God. Anything goes awry, we blame God. And God didn't really have any, God is only capable of doing good. Aren't you glad for that? He is only capable of doing good. It's the enemy that will open up and bring bad into our lives if we allow him to, but it's only God that brings good. He's nothing but good. Our wives and our little ones will be a prey. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? Let's go back to what we've known. Let's go back to that familiar manna burger. Let's go back to that place that we've already been in bondage for 400 years. You know, that's what happens. A lot of times when we're out here walking by faith and things go a little awry, we want to go back to that desert. God didn't want you back in the desert. God wants you living in faith in the promised land. He doesn't want you living in a land of just enough. He wants you living in a land of more than enough. Hallelujah. Drop verse 6 through 8. And Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jehonadab, who was among the scouts who had searched the land. You like that, didn't you? Rent their clothes. And they said to all the company of Israelites, the land though which we passed as scouts is an exceedingly what? Why is it a good land? Because God gave it to them. He said, go out and get it. It's yours. Go and possess it. God has already given us the promises. It is all good. He's just saying for us, change your mind. Change your attitude. Get out of that negative place. Get back over in faith and go and receive what I've given you. You're not too messed up that I can't work through you. You know what? If God never worked through messed up people, there would be no work of God going on. You hear what I'm saying? That's called grace. A lot of people say, well, I messed up so bad. I don't know if God's going to work through me. God will work through you. If he can use a donkey, he can use anything. He will work through you. God wants to work through you. Don't pattern your life after somebody else's ministry and stuff. Pattern your life after your individual calling, what God has given you. That's a word. You know, people want to be an Andrew. People want to be a Joseph Prince. People want to have this big ministry or that big ministry or that. You know, sometimes, man, the greatest ministry you'll ever have is just like I had with Fred. It's one-on-one ministry. It's some of the most powerful ministry you'll ever have. And everybody's always searching for something out there. It's like, wow, man, that would wear you out. It's amazing. People want a huge ministry. Let me change that. There is not a ministry in the body that I haven't worked on in. I have worked in nursery. I have worked in children's church. I have worked in singles. I have led music. I've played the drums. I've played the keyboards. I have preached. I have been at the altar more than you have. I have received the offerings. I've ushered, I've cleaned, what? Youth? Oh, I did youth. Wow, wouldn't it be great to have a great youth pastor here? Somebody had a real passionate heart for it. Andrew and Kay did it for many, many years. God's led them in a different direction in their ministries. But I'm telling you, God's got such ministry, and everybody's always looking out there somewhere. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to use you, and he can use you right here. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them that. God can use you right here. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The people here were defeated by their own mental outlook. That's all that was holding them back. They became so negative in their thought, they wanted to go back to Egypt, back to bondage. And that's exactly what happens. Caleb had a spirit of faith. He was willing to believe God and trust God's word. He enlarged his capacity to receive. Amen. And when you get a different perspective of life and a different perspective of God, it just opens up everything for you. Amen. And things are not hard. Things begin to come easy for you. Turn to somebody and say, this shouldn't be hard. The Christian walk shouldn't be a hard walk, guys. It's an easy walk. Praise God. We're endued with power from all on high. Amen. We've all been given the measure of faith. You just got to start using it. Start using it. Start allowing it to flow through you. You know, How do things happen in our lives? You know, somebody says, well, you know, I see there's certain areas of ministry. Let me try to explain this just a moment. I see there's certain areas. It seems like some people have a healing ministry. You know why they have a healing ministry? Because they've dedicated themselves to grow in that area and release their faith more than that area than others have. You know why Cecil Paxton has a healing ministry? Because that's his focus. You know why Andrew's mom has a healing ministry, travels all over the world? Because that's her focus. Why does she see manifestation? Because her faith is there. Amen? And when your faith is there, the manifestation will be there. Y'all get this? Amen? We've all been given the measure of faith. It's already there. Amen? Just like the children of Israel, God wants to take us to an exceedingly great, abundant land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land of joy, not drudgery. Amen? Wow. Turn over, if you will. Let me give you another scripture this morning. Turn over to Ephesians 3, 15 through 20. I'm going to put this up in the Amplified. Ephesians 3, 15 through 20. Love this. Awesome. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, the Father from whom all the fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with the mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. God in you, indwelling you. Amen. Your personality changing from one that is negative in an orphan's heart to one that's positive, faith in God and in his word. May he grant you that. May Christ, through your faith, again, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home. Everybody say permanent home. Permanent. He's not going to leave you because you messed up. Permanent home. Hallelujah. In your hearts, may you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. God wants you founded securely on his love. When you're founded securely in that love, there's nothing that you can't believe for. Say amen. Praise God. That you might, may have the power, thank you, sister, and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints God's devoted people the experience of that love, which is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through the experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the what? Fullness of God in you. Whoa, my goodness. May have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That is big stuff, man. That's who's in you. Another thing we're talking about, the tangible presence of God. It's right here. It's right in me all the time. When I worship, God's presence is right here. Hallelujah. When I sing, God's presence is right with me. Wherever I go, God's presence is with me. That's why you never have to fear. Because everywhere you go, God's presence is with you. Go on down. Now to him who by in conscience of the action of his power that is at work where? Within us is able to carry out his purposes. What is his purpose? It's always good. And to super abundantly far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our what? Highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be the glory in the church. Amen. To him be the glory. That's the God we serve. God is able to just take your dreams and accelerate them. Amen. If it's a desire in your heart, if it's a God desire, it's going to come to pass. Why? Because God put it there. Amen? God's able to do that for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's able. How's he able? Through you. Through you he's able. How do you receive it? By feeding on the word. When I get up in the morning, what do? I feed on the word. Holly and I come to the breakfast table in the morning. She turns on her little phone, and the word's just coming out. We're sitting there listening to the word, talking about the word, feeding on the word every day. Amen. When I'm faced with something negative, no, I replace that negative thought. What do I replace it with? I replace it with the word of God. Someone comes up with a negative thing, what do I replace that with? I replace it with the word of God. Amen. Listen, guys, it's through that word. I've got some more scripture, but I'm not going to go into it today. It's through that word that sustains us and feeds us, and we meditate on that word. We get that word in it, and it changes our attitude from one of being negative to one being positive. Have a whole total different perspective when you're in the word. Whole total different perspective when you're in the word. When that word's in you, it's abiding in you, things come up, that word automatically comes out of you. When you're up roofing your roof and you miss the nail and you hit that thumb, that word comes out of you. Come on, somebody. That word comes out of you, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his word that's going to sustain you. It's his word that's going to see you through. There is nothing that you can't do. God in you. God in you. God living in you, not out there somewhere, but right here in you. Multi-millionaire status in you. Two of you like that. Multi-millionaire status in you. Could you change someone's life being a multi-millionaire? Could you change many lives being a multi-millionaire? Absolutely. Can you train people how to become a multi-millionaire? Absolutely. We need more people training people how to acquire wealth that are believers, that they can receive it so they can be a channel of giving. God wants you to be wealthy. God doesn't want you to be broke, busted, or disgusted. Hello? God desires you to be wealthy. You need to get a good attitude, because most Christians, they don't have an attitude of wealth, they have an attitude of poverty. Because they don't think they should, if they keep humble in their poverty, then they're real humble, they shouldn't have anything. How in the world are you going to do anything if you have a poverty mindset? It's a mindset. Get out of that poverty mindset. Get out of that negative thinking. Begin to say, you know what? Money follows me. I am blessed, and money follows me. God gives me a creativity in my sleep. The Bible says he gives to his beloved in their sleep. God is able to give you ideas and thoughts in your sleep. Amen. How do I do this? God, what do you have for me? Somebody invented a little twist board and has made millions of dollars off a twist board. That could be you. Stand this morning. Turn to somebody and say, no negative around me. There's no negativity around me. Turn to somebody and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Turn to somebody and say, I am a wealthy fella. I'm a wealthy lady. Turn to somebody and say, money is chasing me down. Say, money's finding me. Woo! Say it, Holly. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Expect your mortgage to be paid. Paid off. So you can give more to the kingdom of God. Amen. God wants you to be free in finances. Amen. Are you there yet, Pastor? No, but I'm believing I'm on my way. I know I'm a lot further than I used to be. Amen. And I'm believing. I'm believing I'm going to have a mortgage that's free. No more mortgage in my house. Free me up. Praise God, man. I'm believing for it. God wants you to be free and believe for those things. See yourself in a different perspective. Don't see yourself just working for somebody. See somebody else working for you. See yourself as the head of the company. Hello? Come on, somebody. Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Father, we thank you today. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have an attitude that is yours. I allow the mind of Christ to be in me. The mind of freedom, the mind of creativity, the mind of results. Today I declare I'm blessed. I'm full of positive, of a positive mind, full of a positive heart. My heart is whole, healed in Jesus' name. I walk by faith, not by sight. I overcome. I'm an overcomer. Every day of my life, I am victorious because of what Jesus has done, because of what His grace has provided. I walk in that grace today. I walk in that love today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Tammy, you're blessed today. Amen. I want you to turn to 10 people and say, I am blessed this morning. Amen. Come on, 10 people.